We wanted to get to a case that just came down from the Washington State Court of Appeals, giving what appears to be a schizophrenic ruling, saying that Seattle, remember, Seattle tried imposing, is trying to impose a income tax. Now, let's just get rid of the competitive advantage that individuals and businesses have here flocking to the area. Let's just get rid of it. But they were sued, of course, because the income tax was considered unconstitutional. Well, the Washington State Supreme Court said that, yes, Seattle's version is unconstitutional, but they appeared to open the door for a income tax as long as it is uniform. So here to break down the case for us is Jason Mercier. He is the director of the Center for Government Reform at our good friends at the Washington Policy Center. So Jason Matera filling in for Jason Rantz, and now we have Jason Mercier on the program with us. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks, Jason. It's a good name to be on.
Yes, indeed. So tell us about this case. From what I'm reading, it appeared shocking in that it seemed like there was bipartisan agreement, even from legal representatives for Seattle, acknowledging that that the income tax was unconstitutional, and yet the Washington State Court of Appeals threw a curveball.
Yeah, yesterday's ruling had a part of it that everybody pretty much expected, and that was on a unanimous 3-0 ruling. They said that Seattle's specific income tax, the one they adopted in 2017, was unconstitutional because it's a graduated rate. And they said that, you know, our Supreme Court for over 90 years in multiple cases has declared income to be property, which means it has to be taxed uniformly and no more than 1%. That's our property tax restrictions in the Constitution. So the fact that they found Seattle's income tax unconstitutional, that was pretty much expected. That's what the trial court did. That was basically what everybody's expectation has been since they did this. Where things got a little bit strange, though, is the appellate court went on to say, though, that particular tax was unconstitutional. The two statutory restrictions that the trial court found also invalidated Seattle's tax were invalid. So basically, what happened back in 1984, the legislature passed a law in response to actually a separate constitutional amendment that passed in the 70s that created a little bit of a gray area on whether this new type of city-county government could do an income tax. And there was some confusion from the Attorney General on this. So the legislature in 1984 basically passed this one-page law. It was literally one page. And just clarified that said, no, cities, city counties, counties cannot impose a net income tax. And that was what Seattle ran into, that regardless of whether it was graduated or flat, local governments just can't do an income tax. But the appellate court yesterday shockingly declared that 1984 law unconstitutional.
How?
Saying that it violated the single subject rule.
Explain that for us.
Well, so what? This actually wasn't even an argument that Seattle made. Seattle didn't argue this law was unconstitutional. Seattle said that they had complied with the law. Where this argument came from was from a separate group who was an outside intervener in the lawsuit that actually was working behind the scenes with Seattle to try to set up this lawsuit. And what they argued was that this particular law in 1984, the legislature passed prohibiting the local income tax, it violated the single subject rule. It had too many different provisions in it. Now, the interesting part about this, again, I mentioned this is only a one-page bill. And what this bill did is it addressed this new type of city-county government to try to clarify any confusion that existed. And it had to do with if there was an independent school district, what you would do with fire contracts, and also clarifying that you can't do an income tax. And why that was important, when this constitutional amendment passed in 1972, it was very controversial and it barely passed. It was 50.2 to 49.8. And if you go back to the campaign documents and the voter's guide, there was concern that it might open the door to a local income tax. So it's understandable why the legislature sought to clarify that.
And so they're clarifying this constitutional amendment that was voted on. And the amendment was singularly focused, if I'm hearing you correctly. And that is, no, localities can't impose their own income tax. So that's what the clarification, yet the Court of Appeals threw that out Isn't it interesting, Jason Mercier at the Washington Policy Center here on the Jason Rantz program, that that now the Court of Appeals finds this objectionable in 2019? It's strange how these things just morph and evolve, even though voters have been given opportunities for decades to impose an income tax, and they've routinely said no.
Well, and the other part of this, I mentioned that was a 35-year-old state law, but the other statutory prohibition is local governments don't have the authority to impose a tax unless the legislature gives them that authority. They have to give permission. And notwithstanding that explicit 1984 ban, cities had long understood that they had not been given permission by the legislature to impose an income tax. In fact, there was a 2014 Seattle city attorney memo saying, we can't do this, we haven't been given permission. The Spokane hearing examiner just this past April had a memo saying the legislature hasn't given us this permission. So cities seem to understand this, but the Court of Appeals, along with striking that 1984 law, said that, no, the legislature has actually given cities the authority to impose an income tax when they gave them the authority to impose property taxes. So the bottom line from tomorrow's ruling, Seattle's specific income tax is unconstitutional, but if this ruling is allowed to stand, cities are now allowed to impose a flat income tax unless the legislature intervenes to reimpose that ban.
And the, I'm guessing the Washington State Supreme Court will take up this case, which doesn't, at least personally, I don't have much confidence in them to maintain this no income tax structure that has been such a competitive advantage for this state. But that's the next step in the process, correct?
Well, that's the most interesting part about that ruling yesterday, because the trial court didn't even get to the constitutional issues. It just said Seattle can't do this because of the statutory bans. So if the appellate court had just upheld the trial court, there's a good chance, even though Seattle would want to appeal, the court wouldn't take it up. But by the appellate court striking down that statutory prohibition, it basically gave Seattle what they wanted. It set up that next phase for the Supreme Court to come in and see if they want to change their prior rulings. And I think the most concerning thing about this, as you alluded to, this has been the understanding of our Constitution for almost 100 years. And the voters have actually been asked on six separate occasions to amend the Constitution to allow graduated income tax. We've been sent six constitutional amendments, and we've rejected all of them. So when you've got the voters saying no, it'd be pretty activist, in my opinion, for the Supreme Court not only to overturn its prior rulings, but then to ignore the fact that voters have rejected six chances to change the Constitution.
But that's how progressives get their legislation enacted. They're big ones, at least. It's through the courts. I mean, the people given the opportunities. We could go some many of the hallmark supposed rights cases throughout the decades, not just locally, but nationally. And all these big liberal dogmas have been enacted by the court, and even when the people have voted against it. But bottom line on this, it just seems strange. Let's say that that Seattle had the constitutional authority, right? Let's just say they had the constitutional authority. Why would you want to take away? Again, I'm going to use this phrase again because it is obvious that the Pacific Northwest, particularly Washington State, has a competitive advantage in attracting entrepreneurs and businesses and individuals to the state because of the tax-friendly climate. So Seattle says, oh, it's just a 2.25% tax on the rich. But when the rich, and they're not even rich, is $250,000 does not make you rich, in today's environment, but when these individuals can just live in Bellevue, right? They can go outside of Seattle, and we're seeing this with Amazon moving to a more friendly environment for business from Seattle to Bellevue. So I don't know why would Seattle city officials want to even kneecap this great advantage that they have in attracting businesses from other states.
In fact, that's a point that, to my surprise, Seattle's own attorneys made in trial court. They said, hey, if you don't want to pay this tax, just move to Bellevue. So it's pretty good advertising for the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce. But when you think about local income taxes, Washington is one of nine states without a statewide personal income tax. But even in those 41 other states with state taxes, the majority of them don't have local income taxes, because it does create kind of an interstate competitive issue where just because I may work in Seattle, I'm not going to live there. So you just allow people to move where they want to move, and you easily avoid that city-specific income tax.
Yeah.
So Seattle may regret, if they ever were to win this, being able to be a standalone island of an income tax. But in honesty, and they'll be pretty straightforward if you ask them, this has nothing to do with Seattle's income tax. They have done this to try to get rid of the statewide prohibition on a graduated income tax, and they're using this as a vehicle to see if they can get five judges to do that, since 7 million Washingtonians consistently reject doing so at the ballot box.
Yep, when you can't get things done at the ballot box, just look towards activist judges. Well, Jason Mercier at the Washington Policy Center breaking down this case for us, with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Jason Rantz. Appreciate your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You got it.